Well, this is going to be just like the Dundies, except different. We didn't go to anyone's houses this morning, and I actually had a name for this, and everyone told me it was inappropriate, so we're not going to use the name I had for it. So we're just going to call this Giving You the Bird. That was better than what I had, all right? So we're going to say in a little bit, we're going to give eight people the bird. It's going to be awesome. But before we do, and what you can do to be part of that this morning, it's still not too late. What we'd like to do is honor people who make Action Church happen, because we've been talking about gratitude all month, and I thought we should pause. We're going to kind of pause the series this morning and not only prepare for Thanksgiving at our house, but here in our church house, we would just put this into practice. Now, and of course, because it's Action Church, we're going to eat food and have fun, but that's just because we do what we do. But I just wanted to catch you all up. If it's your first week back, what we've been talking about is this idea of all of us have the other hand. And what that means is, like, we say things like this. We go, "Ooh, I've been waiting my whole life to, you know, get a job in my, you know, in my career field that I studied for in college. On the other hand, who knew the pay would be so low and the hours are so bad to start?" Or we go, "Hey, I've planned my entire life for my wedding, and on the other hand, now I'm married," you know, or "I waited for years. We tried for years to have a kid. And, like, on the other hand, we have kids now." And so I realized, like, the thing about gratitude is, in most cases, we really can't change the hand we're dealt. It's, well, that makes sense, because it's the hand we're dealt and we're not the dealer. So we sort of have, you know, where we were born and our genetic makeup and who our parents were and when we were born. I mean, think about it. We're born in 2000, you know, we're here. We weren't born in 2020, but we're here in 2020 in the United States of America. Like, who chose that? Maybe one or two of you chose to emigrate, but probably not. Like, we were just born here and we're in York County. And so many things, like, about us, how tall we are and how smart we are and how good we are at, you know, English, like, all of these things, like, we didn't really choose, because that's just the hand we're dealt. But we could change the other hand. We could change the other hand, that part where we go, you know, "Ooh, waited all my life to get married, but on the other hand, now I'm married," or "waited all my life to, you know, get this career, but on the other hand." Here's what we could change, and we could do what the Bible would say, is that we could learn to be thankful. And it doesn't say in good situations, because anybody can do that. You know, anybody can go, "Oh, wow, I just, you know, I won the lottery on the way home from buying a new car for cash. You know, good day, I'll be thankful." But that's not what the Bible's talking about. The Bible's talking about the other hand, where we're like, "Whew, this isn't turning out the way I hope," but Scripture would say we could learn to be thankful in all situations. Now, if you're not a Bible person or a church person, or you're, like, kind of skeptical, like, "That sounds old-fashioned," I just want to tell you something that doesn't always happen. Like, this doesn't always happen, but this is absolutely true in this case. Like, science, absolutely, what we can, you know, like, the best minds today absolutely agree with what the Bible says in that situation. They find that being grateful, your attitude of gratitude can change the way you heal from injury and disease. It can be the difference between whether you succeed in a certain field. It's the difference in whether you're a happy parent or a very unhappy parent. And the way I like to say it is, not only does gratitude make your life better, it makes the life of everyone around you better, because you're a happier, healthier, better person. And it's interesting, like all of this study that we're doing on gratitude at places like UC Berkeley and Harvard Medical School is finding like it plays an enormous role, a role beyond anything we thought. And so what we're doing here at Action Church, just to catch you up real quick, is I realized that we were going to need help doing that. And that's where we got help from the hand turkey, because even though we say, you know, well, I'll just be thankful, and we all think we know how to do it, it's like we all kind of think we know how to fight and we know how to dance, and it turns out none of that's true, although alcohol helps you in both cases, I think. Not really, but it makes you think you can. But anyway, it's one of those things where we all think we know how to be grateful, but really what we need a little help. So we've been asking questions. So we're up to three questions so far, and we use our hand turkey since it's nearly Thanksgiving. And so thumbs, nothing. That's the head of the hand turkey. It would be weird to put a question there. Just trust me on that. So there's only four questions. And the first one is, am I hoping? We talked about this a few weeks ago. Am I hoping or expecting? And they sound the same, but they're extremely different in being grateful. I've been like messing around with this whole month, and I'm realizing like, oh, like I struggle with this. Like if I could get this question right, I think I'd be so much happier in life. Because expecting and hoping are different, because hoping feels a lot like expecting, but it doesn't have an expiration date. So you go, you know, I'm hoping to be fulfilled being a parent, and that could happen when your kids are in their late 60s if you live that long. And so you're always hopeful, and you're always happy to be a parent, whereas if you expect that new baby is going to complete you, or that new job, or that new car, or that new, you know, Instagram like, you know, like all those things that you expect to complete you, instead of being hopeful, open-ended hopeful, we find that, wow, it just sort of rounds down our happiness. And if we get what we expect, we're not as happy as we could be if we didn't expect it, because surprises are always better. And if we don't get what we expect, we're angry. So it's just a no-win situation. So I think that question is really important. And then 2 weeks ago, we talked about this question of entitlement, which I think as Americans, we probably struggle with more than anything else. And it's this thing of, what am I owed really? Because one reason why we expect things and one reason why we're ungrateful is because we feel like, oh, guess what? I'm owed this thing that I didn't get. I'm owed this thing. And so when I don't get it, I have a right to be mad because I didn't get something that was owed to me. But the question that we need to ask, and we're working on asking, I think, as Christians is, what am I owed really? And when you start to think that, you start to imagine, like, what am I owed really? And ask that question to yourself. One of the cool things is you realize, like, not a lot. Not a lot am I actually owed. So it checks your entitlement big time when we start thinking like that. And it's funny because we use language like that. We go, they owe me an apology, or they owe me their respect. No, they don't. It would be great. You know, it would be fantastic if they did. But when we start to think people owe us, our entitlement creeps up, and it's really, really ugly. Last week, we talked about switching places, and this is where empathy comes in. And man, this is a powerful, powerful question. What if I switch places with the person that is making me feel ungrateful? And this is so powerful, because I realized this week, like, so many of these things we get grumpy about, or at least I get grumpy about, if I switch places with that person, it makes absolutely sense. It makes so much sense from their perspective. Like, oh, I know why that's happening, or I know why I didn't get what I wanted, or I know why I didn't, you know, receive what I thought I would receive, because, wow, if I was in their shoes, I probably wouldn't have done that either. And so this empathy question is really, really powerful. Now, we're just one question away from complete happiness. Like, that's cool, right? Like, one more question, and we'll never be sad again. No, that's not true, but we're going to stop. And we're not going to tell you what that question is this week, because, and there's a good reason for it, not just because I want you to come back next week, even though I do. I'm not going to lie to you. I do. We're going to take inventory. And it'll make sense next week, because even if you're traveling, check in on the podcast, because we need to take inventory to ask the next question. I'll give you that hint. And I don't know what jobs you work in, but most industries need to take an inventory. I used to work in a warehouse. I was trying to remember. It was funny because I asked somebody who worked in a warehouse this week. I was like, walk me through your inventory process. And I was thinking, like, I actually worked in a warehouse when I was in college, so I've done inventory. But we sold alcohol out of this warehouse, so we would drink during the inventory. So I don't remember any. I remember it was awesome. Like, we would work all night, I think. I don't know, you know. So I was like, I need your help, because I don't remember what inventory is like. And the answer I got, which is a good answer, is inventory is just comparing what you actually have with what you think you have, right? Because in any business, and it's funny because the person I was talking to worked in a business that's really, you know, has great technology. And he said, it's funny because, like, we have the cloud and we have scanners and we have all these sort of robotic ways of taking inventory. But in the end, when you get guys out there counting boxes and counting skids, it's different. Because things happen even in the cloud, and somebody inputs it in the wrong place, or somebody puts the pile, you know, the skid of pallets, or the pallet. I'm bad at my inventory, obviously. I've just been drinking, but like your pallet and your load of boxes in the wrong row, and then it gets counted in the wrong thing. And he was like, "You'd be amazed how many hundreds of thousands of dollars get misplaced in a big warehouse." And so we have to find out what we actually have, because that can change everything when it comes to what we can ship and what we can fulfill and whether we need to reorder. And so I think, and I want Kenna to come back up here, and she's going to join me here in just the next few minutes as we gather these in. I think that's true not just for warehouses or businesses. I think it's true for people in churches. Like, I was thinking this week, like, what we need to do as people is sort of go, I need to take inventory this week, and it's a perfect week for it. It's Thanksgiving week. We're going to dedicate this week to just being grateful. It has nothing to do with turkey or football or family. No, it's all of those things. I can't wait for that. I've been talking about pies for weeks now. But I'm telling you, like, what a perfect time to sort of take inventory and connect what we actually have. If you want to grab your mic. Now, you work at the, you work at the sewage treatment plant. Yeah, do you take inventory? She didn't know what I was going to ask her. I said, just get a mic. I go, it'll be fine. We're just going to talk. That's my first question for you. Do you take inventory at the sewer?
We have to back up, though. But first, Don calls me, and he talks to me on the telephone while he's working. So I envision him, like, up on a ladder with a sprayer and that mask thing on his face and eating a sandwich. And we have the oldest telephones known to me. Like, Motorola 500 BC is what we have, our phone. So I get, like, every eighth word this man says when he talks to me on the telephone. I got, like, Hungaria, polyester, duck dynasty. My response is always yes. Mm-hmm, okay. Yeah. Oh, good. Good.
Well, no wonder you were so compliant. I was just like, you said you wanted to help, and I know you're thinking about cleaning the kitchen, but I'd like you to grab a mic and help up here.
Yes.
Yeah, so, and you said yes.
And Chuck always says, "Do you have any idea what you volunteered for?" Absolutely none. But how sideways? How sideways can it go? It's Action Church. We do take inventory.
I'm so curious, but we probably. All right. Almost everything, including sewage treatment plants, take inventory. You need to figure out. And so that's what we're going to do as a church. And not to just try to put a verse on everything, but this is something that the Psalms, which are just, you know, the songs, the praise songs of the time, which were so good at making us grateful and reminding us to be grateful, are filled with this. They're filled with lists. If you read a lot of them, not lisps, that's our music, lists. But bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits is exactly that. Like, we have to take inventory and figure out what we actually have. Because, man, I will tell you, like, don't you find that, like, you can be way off on personal inventory? At least I am.
Like, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
I get, you know, entitled or, you know, just ungrateful. And why don't I have, and you could just miss so many things. And so that's why I thought we'd start here at Action Church. We're going to actually take inventory. And we can actually use, you can help me with these questions. I was thinking about this, like, there's an other hand of Action Church. They're really, I mean, I don't have to tell you that. You know that. Like, on one hand, really cool that we're a church that, it was funny, somebody asked on Facebook this week, I saw, how much is the breakfast? You know, because everybody expects, like, oh, a breakfast, that's a fundraiser. Like, how much do you charge? It's like, nothing. You know, we just did. So on one hand, it's really cool to be part of a place that everything seems to be free and everything, you know, hey, no charge, come on in, eat breakfast, and that's great. And then on the other hand, somebody's got to wash the pots after this is done, right?
There's a backstory to it. And you all, if you call Action Church your home, you're a part of that. Like, the things that you do every week make that possible.
Yeah. And there's also the trade-offs we make for being part of a church like Action Church. We go, on one hand, it's so cool that we have all volunteers. And then on the other hand, I wanted some help during the week and there was nobody there. You know, that's a real thing, you know. We don't have a full-time counseling staff. We don't have many of the, you know, benefits, if you would, that you would, I'm not going to say that if you went to a real church, but if you went to a different kind of church, there are perks. And I'm not trying to sell other churches. I want you here, man. I'm just saying. But let's be honest, there are other hand. You know, you go, it's great that we have to get together. Like a couple weeks ago when everybody got together and cleaned up the building and did painting and repair, that was fantastic. On the other hand, be nice to have a maintenance staff. You know? I'm saying that because it would be great to have a maintenance staff. But so what are some thoughts you have on that? But I think there's a lot of other hand parts of Action Church.
I think one of the great things about that, because we are volunteer, is it makes so much room for everyone to actually be a part of the church. That sometimes when you're in organizations and there's someone that has that function or has that responsibility or takes care of that, sometimes it can make you feel like you don't have a place to be a part of or you have no function. But every single one of you here has a function. You have a talent. You have a skill. God gave it to you. We'd love for you to use it. And this is a perfect place and a perfect opportunity for you to be able to do that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I was thinking about the questions this week, you know, when it comes to church, because let's be honest, like all of us have those moments where we're like, ugh, I wish this was happening, or I wish, you know, it's great that we have, you know, so many great volunteers in the kids area, always need more, but I wish they had a separate class for my kid. You know, I hear those questions, and so we can ask the same questions from our hand turkey about our church experience, like, am I hoping or expecting? Man, hope all you want. I would love more hopeful people, like, anything is possible. On the other hand, you may be expecting something that we're just not able to do at this point because of how things work around here. And then, you know, a question we have to ask ourselves about church is, what am I owed really? Like, as Americans, we get this idea that church is sort of another provider of services. Like, well, I have a church, I go there and they should package Jesus for me. And truthfully, gang, that's not the way it started, and that's not the way it's supposed to work. It's supposed to work like a group of us together, worshiping together. And you know, we like to think of worship as just singing or just raising your hands, and that's part of it, and I'd love to do more of that, but it's also putting our hand in the dishwater and cleaning the pots and pans so other can eat. It's all of those things. And then what if I switch places? That's what we want to do this morning. Like, what if you switch places with, you know, the people that are actually serving you? I mean, I will tell you, I came here this morning, and I was telling Josiah, I said, I knew it was going to be a great morning, because it was a horrible morning. That's usually how I know. Like, I got here at 8, and it's just snowing. And the parking lot, and I'd love to tell you, like, I am a man of faith. Nothing bothers me. Everything bothers me. I was like, no one's going to come. And then, like, I come in, and I'm like, and we have all this breakfast stuff. And everybody, like, was, like, had some reason that they weren't here yet. So I'm like, the only one here. I'm like, I can't make breakfast and set up the tables and do everything. My, you know, and it was so funny. Like, I'm having like a sort of a mini meltdown in the back going, where is everyone? You know, you didn't hear that. I'm telling you it happened though. And like, but like people showed up and made breakfast for everyone. And it was paid for and it was free because of you. And so, I mean, it's amazing like what can happen. And you all showed up and filled the place up, and the snow is going to be melted by the time you go. And it's like, I think that's sort of a perfect picture of how this does. So here's what we're going to do. And I have no idea how this is going to go because I have no idea what you wrote. And so we're just going to do a little inventory. Okay. And we ask you to show your gratitude for the people that make Action Church happen. Now, here's the thing that I want to remind you. We have many, 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 many things that we could be grateful for. And I said things we could be grateful for, like this building and all the equipment we have and all the... But that's not where we're going to go this morning. Like, that's great, but we can't thank the, you know, the new light bulbs. Like, that's not something we can thank. So let's thank people, and that's where we're starting. So do you have some you want to start with? Okay. So these are people that we're going to show gratitude, because really, we've been a church and a nightclub and a theater, and now in another converted nightclub. We could be a church in a tent if we needed to be, if there were people that would do church. And so what do we have here?
Well, overwhelmingly, we had a lot of responses for one of my best friends in the entire world, Miss Michelle Record, and her daughter, Reagan. Yeah, and I think that just goes to show that all of you recognize exactly what goes on and what has to happen in order to have church here every single week. It's not just Sunday morning, like Don said. It's 24/7 for their family. And just recognizing that, you know, Michelle brings the bagels and donuts. Yeah, it's nice having those donuts out there, but somebody actually has to go and pick them up and bring them before the volunteers here actually get their hands on them and put them on the counter for you to have. And I enjoyed this one for Reagan, has vacuumed the carpet for hundreds of hours.
That's true.
And they're thanking you, Reagan, for cleaning up their dirt. So That one was interesting. And just kind of to summarize, it does so much. They do so much behind the scenes, including paying the utility bills and making sure that those, you know, you all help with that. When you put your money in the donation bin, that's the money that goes to do that. But then there's an actual step that has to be taken, just like at your house. You know, that check has to be written. That bill has to actually be paid on time in order for all of this to happen.
I haven't written a check since the 90s. So, like, honestly, if it wasn't for her.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. This is the last time I overdrew the checkbook and almost went to prison. So that is, like, thankfully... That's a true story. I tell you. Don't worry. I don't touch any of the money. It's okay.
All right. So are we going to keep
reading?
Let's,
I think it would be great just to talk about all the people. Uh-huh. Just my gratitude list. Like, one thing you guys don't realize is, like, I mean, when I turn this, you know, I turn, like, basically a raw sermon in, you know, just words in on Friday morning, and everything amazing you see on the screen happens because Tyler did this one, but Kate, Josiah does it sometimes, but mostly Kate and Tyler now every week spend hours putting together it doesn't just pop up there. And then the fact that the mic is hot, and notice, I just have to say this, like, I used to walk up here and start talking to the mic and it wasn't on. I don't think that's happened in a while. And you guys have lowered my blood pressure so much. You can't even, because that was my most hated thing, is to walk up and go, hey, and then have to start again. So Sound Raph is killing it on that.
There you go. You can read
that. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, Raph is the hottest in the sound booth. All right. We got a nomination for Raph, hottest in the sound booth. I'm glad to see that. Who knew what was going on? Oh, there's two. He actually has two hottest in the sound booth. He might win an award today. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry, I interrupted.
I liked this one. I thought it was really interesting. And I'll read the comment first. They have loved and guided my boys early on at their Action Church days. They may have moved on, but his love, time, gifts gave enough to last a lifetime. We miss, love, and appreciate. So honorable mention to the Warrington family.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of Action Church, where we are today and how we actually got here. You know, before all of this, there were years of building a church and building a place, and having people that actually came together to make this a home for your family. And, you know.
Well, yeah, and I think that's, I'm so glad somebody did that, because if you think about, like, Matt, The birds just moved. Mm-hmm. The only way you can get out of leadership positions at Action Church is either fake
move
your
out
death
of state.
Or move out of state. Like, there's just no hope otherwise. That's not exactly true. But we've had so many people that have risen up at the time and led them. They say they moved away, but I swear I see them in East York a lot. No, not really. But it's like, we couldn't be there. And it's as we add new people to the team, it's just cool to see how, you know, like Mike and Heather have jumped on the leadership right. team, and that doesn't mean they're going to move away, although they might have to, but just kind of see how God has provided, not just financially, but with the right people at the right time. And we could not have done it without the Warringtons or the Burrs or all through the years. And then Bill and Denise, who he's been here since the doors opened.
Yeah.
Bill emailed me week two? And you said, I remember because his email was Billy Dick One or something. And I was like, all right, awesome. Billy Dick One wants to help me. And he said, what can I do? And I said, set up chairs. And dude was there the next week and became, you know, just the rock of Action Church. It's just so cool. Bill and Denise, without them, I don't know what we do. But
Bill greets me with a big hello every Sunday, and he makes me feel at home.
Yeah.
Yes. And I saw one for his lovely wife, another one of my great friends, Miss Denise, who gets all of the donuts and the
coffee stuff,
cream cheese, everything ready for you guys every Sunday morning. So big hand for her too. All right.
Also on that stage, I mean, if you haven't noticed, actually I think you have because you're showing up every time I notice the crowd always goes up when the house band plays, which I get that. They're amazing. Like a lot of work goes into that behind the scenes, not just to do the house band and more in-house stuff, but also to book the bands and to prepare for that. So thanks to Mitch and the crew, and my goodness, we got to give them a...
And I know you kind of touched on it, but we've gotten a lot of responses for the entire, and you kind of grouped them as a group for the Action Kids area teachers. Teaches my kids every Sunday. My boys love them and look forward to seeing them. They care for our kids, teach them the truth, and they love them, which allows me to fully enjoy worship at Action Church because they never have to worry about what the kid is up to.
And what if you switch places? What if you actually, you should switch places with, I'm just saying. But this gives us an opportunity to, and Kate, I know we're not going to cry here, but Kate has been one of the people that has been with our Action Kids, she's led Action Kids for years, and she stepped down from that last week. And this is also an opportunity, parents. I was talking to her the other day. I said, this is probably a bad example because I hope you have better results, but like, I'm really love scripture like I do. I was using myself as a good example. Like, you could have a kid that turns out like me, and I realized that was bad. But like, my Sunday school teacher, Avis Arnold, was the one who made me love scripture. You know, like, and Kate is in that same way. Like, I can't imagine how many kids that we've baptized that have grown up to be, you know, young people now have been because of Kate's leadership for that.
I have a good Kate story back years ago, back at Club 19, and this is a Michelle story too, because I immediately volunteered, hey, I'll be involved in the kids area, and Michelle was like, if you show up again, maybe we'll use you. But one of the we used to do Action Kids area back behind a big garage door, and they would literally, like, when service was ready to start, we would roll the garage door down, and it was terrifying being back there with your kids. Like, it was like they're closing me in with these kids, and we would set the bounce houses up in the area. The bounce houses, like we used to take to the events, would be set up in the area for the kids to just go nuts. So you're back there with nutty kids and like crazy stuff going on. So Kate and I got the great idea when the first time that I taught that we would actually teach the lesson while we were sitting in the bounce house. It was the biggest epic fail, I think, ever for like an Action Kids. So Kate has graduated from that and moved on and did a wonderful job in Action Kids all these years.
So it's interesting thinking about, like, and go ahead and read this, but, like, you notice it's not one thing. We have teachers and leaders and artists. You know, we have a lot of artists and connectors. I think of Jerry, like, out there. It's like, yes, he's playing guitar, but there's nothing that happens at Act Church that I don't call him and go, Jerry, do you know a guy? He's like, yeah, my, you know, he's got somebody in his family. Or and so it, there's, and, you know, then we have, I was talking about Jeff. I wish Jeff would have been here today. I would like to have honored him. He's been mowing. Jeff Geiselman's been mowing the lawn. And Bill's been subbing in when he's gone, but he's been mowing the lawn and weed eating and take care of it all summer. And you and I just show up and go, oh, the lawn's mowed. But I mean, there's somebody coming up in their, you know, in their van and unloading their mower and taking the time and the gas and the energy to do that. And there's a billion things like that. And I know we're going to miss somebody, but I just want to, as much as we can, just let's take inventory. Let's thank people today because it's such a good exercise. Go ahead.
Moving on. So Rosato, and this was important because there were a number of cards that hit on kind of this idea, inviting me to church, being friendly and caring, being my friend, you know, making me realize what a place there is here, that like Action Church, that I can actually come here and be a part of that. So that's huge. Like when you talk about volunteers, we can talk about like actual physical function jobs, scrubbing pots, you know, cleaning carpets, putting out the donuts, but there's something that goes into it like way before all of that happens. And we say it every week, like invest in your friends. And that's huge. Like that's one of the biggest things here at Action Church that people are really grateful for. Like,
yeah, that's so true. And it's probably, my guess is there's like a few people that have invited most of the people because that's their gift and that's their, you know. And so if you're one of those people, go for it and do that because it's so, so important. It's like amazing. That's cool. I'm glad. And that's the thing why I didn't. Yeah.
That's up to all of you. All of you every week have the opportunity to do that. And certainly if it is your gift, but you have friends, you have family, you have neighbors, you have coworkers, you have people that could really benefit from calling this place home.
Yeah. And I'm glad we're doing this because this is why I don't notice a lot. I'm that guy, that dad. Like, I will ask at home, like, when did we get this? And it's like, last summer, you know, or when would, you know. So this really, you know, I'm glad we're crowdsourcing this because we're finding out so many things that I wouldn't have never thought of. So thanks for doing that.
People are grateful for the small groups. And we had quite a few of these for ladies like Jill Medor and Rachel Katz leading the women's group, for the youth leaders, again, the Hannigans and the Katzes and the Medors who come and have a place and fun activities and teach our youth. You know, once they've gone beyond the Action Kids area, you know, they still have a place and a function here. And these small groups are huge and have been an important part of Action Church for a very long time. And a neat place to connect and a neat place to make friends and to go deeper into learning about Jesus and taking the lessons that we learn here on Sunday morning deeper. So yeah. Praise for those.
And that's also an opportunity to, you know, there's not going to be a committee that selects you to open up your home. If you go, I wish there was a group that.
Make
that,
one.
That would be a great start. Like, go do that. That's the, and I always tell people that's like the good part of the bad part of Action Church. That's the other hand. Great that we don't have a rule book. On the other hand, there is no rule book. And that's difficult sometimes because you want like a plan, but my goodness, all of those things happen just because people just did it.
Stepped up, saw a need, saw an opportunity, and were the driving force behind that. And that leads me into another one. Kathy King, who is very instrumental in the Take It or Leave It kind of Action Church's resource center. The Unyard Sale.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kathy is excellent at that, and I'm looking for one of the ones that said it better than I could. But she has a big hand in the community, has her finger in the pulse on what's going on in the neighborhood and exactly what they need out there. So as a church, she takes a lot of her time, like a lot of her time throughout the week, to make sure that the things that you bring here to donate, to share, get to where they can actually be used.
And that's a great example of somebody who has a vision to do that, has a heart to do that, and needed like a guy with a screw gun. So Darren and I think there was a couple guys cleaned out that front room, which we were just using for junk. It was like, looked like something the picker should go through and cleaned that out, put shelving up. And all of a sudden we have an actual space with things that you can take or leave. And all of a sudden it's like ministry's happening because you had somebody with a heart for it and somebody with connections. And then somebody, you know, with a screw gun and a strong back. And it's like all of those things matter. So Darren, thank you. And somebody else was in there, but I don't know.
We were looking for that. And then kind of the other area of Action Church, like if you don't have a specific function, you find a function. And that's Mr. Will Freed, of course, had quite a few nominations up here. He's kind of the jack of all trades. We got invited my family to Action Church. He greets me at the front door, brings the umbrella out on rainy days to walk me inside the church, you know, puts the flags out front and brings the flags back in. You know, there's a lot that goes on after church, too.
Absolutely. The Will.
Will.
Also, thank you, everyone who cooked breakfast this morning. That was crazy. Thank you.
I know you guys can't, well, you two can't really thank yourselves, but all of us here really appreciate both of you guys and everything that you do. So thank you, guys.
You did good. Wow.
There might be a story there, but we're just going to let that roll. thank you, Tanner. That was very nice.
Thank
that
you
was
very
thoughtful.
Much,
yeah, so our kid, like thanking our kids. Like when you look at Reagan and Tanner and Tyler and I was just talking to a family over here that like I remember their boys from when they were small on up, and just looking back at pictures, some of the events that we've done over the years, and our kids really do play a huge part in that. And I'm so excited to see some of the younger families, especially the boy families back there, Miss Jill. But you know, you bring kids up in the way that they should go, and they don't depart from that. You know, they're kids, they're teens, they're gonna go through those stages and phases where you'd really like to wring their necks, and that's included. But
and
you know,
ring.
Yeah. But over the years, you know, when I think about, especially Relay and what my boys had to do in loading that camper, and like the hours and hours and hours of work that went into it to actually get to that where we pulled onto the field for Relay, and then the cleanup even afterwards. So to our families as
I saw Lucy, Katz, and Jonah. I'm always, if it's, it is Jonah, right? I'm really bad with this. And I'm like, she's going to be so mad. But Jonah and Lucy were filling the ice bucket today. Oh. Bill had them back there. And they're this tall.
Nice.
And they were reaching up. And I was like, that is, you know, she'll kill me, but that was Reagan size when she started.
Yep.
And so it's like, that's the thing. Get your kids doing that. And it's so neat to see them grow up in that. We're going to miss a million people, but we're running out of time. Please.
Oh, can we do one more?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I definitely
so want to. Steve Perko, making it available that we actually have a church building. Absolutely. And something about a chair mover. I mean, I don't move the chair, so I'm not sure.
Of all the things, that is the greatest thing. That is.
Thanking you for the chair mover.
That was
so
Steve
that
going, I've seen you guys carrying around these giant stacks of chairs and pushing giant stacks of chairs. You know there's a machine for that, and it's not the highest technology. I'll just bring one.
Okay, so now we're going to tally? Is that the
I think we had the accounting firm of Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe, I think. So do you want me to just open these up?
Have them in yet.
You called me. Then I will turn my back.
Okay.
Will...
Does anybody have any last-minute
last-minute nominations?
Jill has a few.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, if you want to go with Jill and Tally, I just want to read something to you as we finish. Because as I was looking sort of how the psalmist take inventory, I'm so grateful that we can sort of thank people today, and don't overlook the fact that, you know, lives are changed by your things that you think are not that important. And you go, oh, I just helped out, or I just cooked breakfast, or I just, you know, I just carried that in, or I just, you know, I just donated and it was no big deal. It wasn't a lot, but it's amazing, like, how you can change lives. But we wouldn't be doing our job as a church if we didn't once again kind of go, but we've got to remember why we're here. And so I'm not going to preach another sermon, but I just had this out here and I didn't know they were going to tally now, but I wanted to read this because as we go into the Thanksgiving season, and I hope this has changed you a little bit in this thing, is I know in the past for me, like whenever I head toward Thanksgiving, I go, oh, I want to be grateful. Then I start thinking of things, you know, like, oh, I'm glad we have a house, or I'm glad we have a, you know, coffee pot. Like, I really love that. You know, it's like, and we think about things, or I'm glad I have a job. I'm glad, you know, and you go, and then you go, oh, good kids and my wife or what. But like, we should be more grateful for people. But if you're a Christian this morning, and if you're not, you should listen to this and go, wow, this is sort of what God is. I just want to read what this psalmist, and we're not even sure it was King David. We don't even know who wrote this exactly, but that's why I think it's so powerful that thousands of years ago, someone wrote this, and I would tell you this morning, like, yes, that's exactly what I'm grateful for when I think of, you know, my Creator who sent my Savior. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity. This is a writer thousands of years before Jesus going, there's going to be a redeemer. There's going to be someone who will forgive our sins. God is in the sin-forgiving business. So if you think, oh, Jesus was added on later, oh, no, no, no. This was part of the plan all along. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Nor does he repay us according to our iniquities. It's talking about God is merciful. And when I think about God and I go, what I'm thankful for is that he gives me mercy instead of justice. It says, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins. So as we're thinking of, you know, people that we're so grateful for this morning, and we can't forget. And I'm going to say a prayer while we wait for them to come back in. But I think we should pray together and kind of end this time with being grateful for our Savior. And understand, this was written in a time when most people's idea of God was not like, as Americans, we kind of go, oh, God's some, you know, nebulous thing, or God is some, you know, white-haired old man living on a cloud. No, 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 that's not what they thought of gods. Their gods were angry and vengeful, and you had to sacrifice your children if you wanted your crops to grow. And yet the God of the Bible, the God of Israel, was a forgiving, loving God, and that was groundbreaking, and it still is. And so I just want to pray as we get ready, and I'll have the band come up after I pray. Dear God, we are grateful for all you've given us, God, and grateful for the people. And God, I know even though we've made an effort this morning to honor people, I know we've probably missed the boat. And I know there's somebody sitting there that's just done amazing things, and we didn't even remember to say thank you, or we don't know. And so, God, I'm just so grateful that you know. I'm so grateful that you know and that you will reward and that you're keeping score. But most of all, I'd like to say thank you for Jesus, and thanks for not giving us what we deserve. And God, thank you that we can be a part of a group of people, imperfect people, struggling people, people who are dealing with some very difficult things this week, but God, people who rely on your mercy and grace, and God, help us to show gratitude properly, and God, help us to be a season of gratitude as we enter into Thanksgiving. In your name we pray, amen. I'll have the band come back up, and I guess we're going to give some awards out, so this is exciting. This is the first annual Give 'em the Bird Award, I think. And you're wondering, why are there eight? Don't know, just ordered eight. And they were like, thousands.
So we've tallied the votes. And the girls that helped me tally the votes are getting the cards ready to give to all of you who had nominations. And they wanted me to remind you that it's not just about like the silly little turkey trophy. Like, make sure that you are thanking the people that you see that function in this church every day when you see them, because there are a lot of people who aren't getting awards that really truly deserve them. So,
all right. I don't know what else to do, but just pull it and see what happens.
Let's go.
Wilfried.
Come on up, Will.
Woo! Go ahead. You've won a major award.
Here he comes. Oh, he wants to shake hands. Oh. All right, Will. All right.
And this is
That's
why
Will.
We've never done this, because this is really weird. Woo! And this is the part we never talked about. Literally, we had a 5-minute conversation. I'm like, you'll just come up there and we'll talk and we'll give out awards. And she said yes. So I thought she understood. And we never planned this part. You should be grateful some weeks that we have a service. I also, Kathy King. You have to give a speech.
She doesn't want to do the stairs. She doesn't want to do the stage. Way to go, Kathy.
Kathy, you won a major award. Do you want to pull one? Go ahead.
Right. Mike and Heather Hannigan, who may not actually be in
Are
service
in the
because
kids?
They're taking care of your kids.
Someone take him the bird. Take him the bird right now.
There you go. All right.
And let the kids know they're dealing with an award-winning teacher. Raph and Kate.
Come on up.
Oh.
Come on.
Oh, he's sending Kate up, who is with child.
Yeah.
I guess now that he's the
Way
hottest
go,
guy in the sound booth, he just can't be bothered with awards. Thank you, Kate.
All right. Mr. Steve Perko.
Mr. Steve Perko.
Front and center. Yeah.
You knew someday you could get an award like this.
Thank you, sir. You will cherish it, won't you?
You never know. You could get a large award like that. Bill and Denise.
Absolutely. Woo! Yeah. Also sending his significant other, the beauty of the team. There we go. Way to go. Thank you, guys. All right, Kathy and Julie Tyson, who also aren't in service, so someone will have to run their award. They are the toddler, thank you, the
thank you.
Toddler.
Right. Kate Jones. Woo! Thank you so much.
She's gonna cry.
And she got an awkward, weird hug and a bird from Action Church. First annual. Thank you so much. And I know that there's so many more people that make Action Church happen. But to me, this feels like, you know, we did Ice Cream Sunday back in the summer where I had no idea what would happen. Like, we could have melted down $1,000 worth of ice cream, or, you know, if we could go out and give it all away. And you guys surprised me that it was gone so quickly. And my hope is that from this, what you did today of recognizing people, we don't stop that, because it's so important that we show gratitude to many, many people here at Action Church who make it happen. So thank you.